Did you know that Taylor Swift, one of the most successful songwriters of our time, credits her phone's notes app as the secret behind her creative process? "I disappear into my phone because my phone is where I keep my notes," she explains in her documentary. Swift isn't alone. Throughout history, the most productive thinkers have relied on external systems to capture their ideas. From Leonardo da Vinci's notebooks to Richard Feynman's favorite problems list, these external thinking tools have been the hidden force behind humanity's greatest achievements. Today, with information overload reaching unprecedented levels, the average person consumes 34 gigabytes daily, equivalent to 174 newspapers, while knowledge workers waste 76 hours yearly searching for misplaced information. Tiago Forte's Building a Second Brain has become a global phenomenon precisely because it addresses this modern crisis, offering a system that has helped thousands across 100-plus countries transform their relationship with information. This isn't just another productivity hack. It's a fundamental reimagining of how we think, create, and navigate an increasingly complex world. Our biological brains simply weren't designed for the information deluge of modern life. Despite our best intentions, we often find ourselves drowning in content while starving for wisdom. The fundamental challenge is clear. Our Paleolithic brains, evolved for survival in resource-scarce environments, are now operating in a world of information abundance. This mismatch creates a painful paradox. We're constantly bombarded with advice promising to make us smarter, healthier, and happier, yet we struggle to retain even a fraction of what we consume. We become information hoarders, stockpiling digital content that only increases our anxiety rather than enhancing our capabilities. Consider the stark reality of modern knowledge work. The average person wastes 76 hours yearly searching for misplaced information, while professionals spend 26% of their workday consolidating scattered data, finding what they need only 56% of the time. Essentially, we work 5 days but spend more than one entire day just searching for information we've already encountered. This cognitive overload manifests in our daily struggles. How often have you tried to remember something important and felt it slip through your mental grasp? How many brilliant ideas have you lost because you had nowhere reliable to store them? How frequently do you find yourself recreating work you know you've done before simply because you can't locate the original? The solution isn't working harder or trying to remember more. It's acknowledging that our biological memory has limitations that technology can help us overcome. Just as we use calendars to extend our ability to track appointments and smartphones to extend our communication capabilities, we need a system to extend our cognitive functions, a bicycle for the mind that enhances our natural abilities rather than replacing them. This is where the concept of a second brain comes in, not as a replacement for your biological brain, but as a trusted partner that handles the remembering so you can focus on the thinking. It's a digital archive of your most valuable memories, ideas, and knowledge that helps you accomplish anything without keeping every detail in your head. When you transform your relationship to information, technology becomes not just storage, but a tool for thinking that accelerates you toward your goals. The practice of extending our minds through external systems isn't new. It has a rich history stretching back centuries. Long before digital tools, educated people maintained commonplace books as personal knowledge repositories that helped them navigate rapidly changing worlds. Unlike modern readers who consume information linearly, early modern readers approached texts as fragmented resources. They would transcribe valuable excerpts into notebooks, rearranging them into new patterns that sparked original thinking. For these historical thinkers, reading and writing were inseparable activities, part of a continuous effort to make sense of the world. These commonplace books served as portals through which educated people interacted with knowledge, connecting insights from different sources and inspiring new ideas. Leonardo da Vinci filled thousands of notebook pages with observations, sketches, and questions. Virginia Woolf maintained detailed journals that fueled her novels. John Locke developed a sophisticated indexing system for his commonplace book that influenced how we organize information today. What makes our current moment unique isn't the practice itself, but the powerful new capabilities digital tools provide. Digital notes can be searched instantly, organized flexibly, synced across devices, and backed up to the cloud. Instead of random paper notes scattered across physical spaces, we can build a knowledge vault with everything in a known location. This digital commonplace book, what Forte calls a second brain, combines the functions of a study notebook, personal journal, and idea sketchbook. It's a multi-purpose tool that adapts to changing needs, whether for school notes, work projects, or household management. Most importantly, it's a private knowledge collection designed for lifelong learning, a laboratory for refining thinking, a studio for experimenting with ideas, and a collaborative whiteboard for sharing with others. The journey to building a second brain often begins with personal crisis, as it did for Forte himself. When mysterious throat pain struck during college, leaving doctors baffled despite worsening symptoms, he took responsibility for his own treatment by writing everything down. He collected his entire medical history, digitized hundreds of pages, and became his own health project manager. With everything in one searchable place, patterns emerged that led to discovering functional voice disorders and developing a personalized treatment approach that finally brought relief. This transformative experience revealed the power of digital notes. Unlike handwritten scribbles, digital notes could take any form and be manipulated to serve any purpose. When applied to college studies, this system transformed Forte from a mediocre student to graduating with honors. Later, as a Peace Corps teacher in rural Ukraine, his notes became a lifeline for creating lessons with limited resources. And when facing the overwhelming pace of a Silicon Valley consulting job, his note-taking system helped him manage information overload. A second brain provides four essential capabilities that transform how we work with information and develop our thinking: making ideas concrete, revealing new associations between ideas, incubating ideas over time, and sharpening our unique perspectives. First, before working with ideas effectively, we must offload them from our minds into concrete form. Even brilliant scientists like Watson and Crick, who discovered DNA's double helix structure, relied on physical models to make their abstract thinking tangible. Digital notes serve a similar purpose. They transform vague concepts into visual entities we can observe, rearrange, and manipulate, leveraging our superior skills for dealing with the external rather than internal world. Second, creativity fundamentally involves connecting ideas, especially those that don't seem related. Research shows highly creative people excel at recognizing relationships and making associations. A second brain facilitates this by keeping diverse materials in one place. Ancient philosophy quotes next to clever tweets, YouTube screenshots alongside classic movie scenes, audio memos with project plans. Like mixing Scrabble tiles to discover new words, the more diverse your collected materials, the more original the connections that will emerge. Third, we often rely on heavy lifts, demanding instant results from our brains without support systems, and suffer from recency bias, favoring recent ideas regardless of quality. A second brain enables a slow burn approach, allowing thoughts to simmer like a stew brewing on the stove. This calmer, more sustainable creativity relies on gradually accumulating ideas rather than manic hustle, turning time into your ally instead of your enemy by permanently saving ideas for the long term. Finally, the ultimate purpose of a second brain is enabling your own thinking to shine. Research shows jobs least likely to be automated are those requiring not just information, but a particular interpretation of information, advocating perspectives, and persuading others. This requires supporting material, examples, stories, statistics, diagrams, analogies, and more. When creativity feels blocked, it's not because something is wrong with you. You simply need a deeper well of raw material to work with. These superpowers don't emerge automatically. They require a systematic approach. This is where Forte's code method provides a simple, intuitive framework for building and working with your second brain. Capture, organize, distill, and express. In our content-saturated digital world, we must adopt a curator's perspective rather than trying to consume everything. The key is capturing only what truly resonates, ideas that feel intuitively interesting, useful, or counterintuitive, and storing them in a trusted place you control. This isn't an analytical decision, but an intuitive one. Notice what creates feelings of pleasure, curiosity, wonder, or excitement. Training yourself to recognize what resonates improves both your note-taking and self-understanding. This practice offers immediate mental health benefits by alleviating the fear that your memory will fail and allowing you to consciously choose what information deserves your attention. Knowledge assets can come from external sources, highlights, quotes, bookmarks, voice memos, meeting notes, images, or internal thoughts. Stories, insights, memories, reflections. Not everything belongs in your second brain, though. Sensitive information, special file formats, large files, and collaborative documents are better stored elsewhere. To focus your capturing efforts, use Richard Feynman's 12 favorite problems approach. Maintain a list of important questions and test new information against them, allowing cross-disciplinary connections that can lead to breakthrough insights. Feynman's method encouraged following curiosity wherever it led. Our own favorite problems can range from abstract questions about society to practical ones about daily habits. These questions tend to remain consistent across our lives, following us through different careers and phases. In any piece of content, value isn't evenly distributed. Rather than saving entire articles, books, or websites, extract only the most relevant passages, quotes, or screenshots. Think like a curator. Be selective about what enters your second brain to avoid overwhelming your future self with irrelevant information. Ultimately, trust your sense of resonance when deciding what to capture. This intuitive approach conserves mental energy for the more valuable tasks of making connections and creating new ideas. When something resonates, you might notice subtle physical responses, widened eyes, a skipped heartbeat, a sense of time slowing down. Neuroscience confirms that emotions organize rational thinking. When content resonates, your intuitive mind is recognizing value before your logical mind can explain why. Twyla Tharp, one of history's most celebrated dance choreographers, reveals that a simple organizing technique called the box lies at the heart of her creative process. Into this box goes anything related to her current project: notebooks, news clippings, CDs, videos, books, photographs, and artwork. The simplicity of the container is its strength, easy to use, understand, create, and maintain. While we carefully design our physical environments with furniture, wall colors, and decor, we rarely apply the same intentionality to our digital workspaces. The cathedral effect demonstrates how environments shape our thinking. High ceilings promote abstract thought, while low ceilings encourage concrete thinking. Your second brain isn't just a tool, but an environment, a knowledge garden requiring cultivation and care. As you capture ideas consistently, excitement builds, but soon leads to a new problem: what to do with all this material. After years of trying various organizational systems that ultimately failed because they weren't integrated into daily life, Forte discovered a simpler approach: organizing by project. This action-based approach became PARA: projects, areas, resources, and archives. PARA organizes information based on actionability rather than content type, requiring only one question: in which project will this be most useful? Instead of filing notes by broad subjects like psychology, you save them according to practical use cases, ensuring ideas appear precisely when needed. This system works across any platform or tool, providing consistency as you move between apps throughout your day. The PARA system organizes all information into just four categories: 1. Projects have a defined beginning and end with specific outcomes required for completion. Examples include work projects, completing designs, creating presentations, personal projects, finishing language courses, planning vacations, and side projects, publishing blog posts, launching campaigns. 2. Areas represent ongoing responsibilities that require maintenance over time but don't have definite end dates or final objectives. Unlike projects, areas are about maintaining standards, whether it's finances you'll manage your entire life or work responsibilities like product development. 3. Resources serve as a catch-all for information that doesn't belong to active projects or areas. These could be topics of interest, architecture, interior design, subjects you're researching, habit formation, note-taking, reference materials, vacation itineraries, stock photos, or hobbies, coffee, classic movies. 4. Archives hold items from the previous three categories that are no longer active: completed projects, areas you're no longer committed to, or resources no longer relevant. This cold storage keeps your workspace uncluttered while preserving everything indefinitely. Para parallels kitchen organization, where everything supports meal preparation. Archives are like the freezer, cold storage. Resources like the pantry, available but tucked away. Areas like the refrigerator, checked frequently. And projects like pots on the stove, actively in use. Rather than organizing by type, Para organizes by destination, where information is going, not where it came from. In 1969, after established directors rejected a mafia drama as too sensationalistic, novice director Francis Ford Coppola reluctantly accepted the project that would become The Godfather. Despite initial hesitation, he recognized it could be framed as a metaphor for American capitalism in the tale of a great king with three sons. Coppola's success hinged on his prompt book technique, a three-ring binder where he pasted pages from the novel and added notes that would guide the screenplay in production. He emphasized capturing first impressions. It's important to put your impressions down on the first reading because those are the initial instincts about what you thought was good. Our notes are things to use, not just collect. When initially capturing notes, we rarely have time to fully understand their meaning. They're like raw materials needing refinement. Note-taking becomes time travel, sending knowledge packets to your future self. The challenge is preserving notes so they survive the journey into the future, allowing your enthusiasm for knowledge to build rather than fade away. Discoverability, how easily content can be found in a search, is what's typically missing from people's notes. While saving content is easy, making it accessible later requires effort. Your future self is a demanding, busy customer with minimal time to find hidden gems. Paradoxically, the more notes you collect, the less discoverable they become as volume grows. The solution mirrors how you'd communicate with important, busy people. Distill your message to key points and actions. Progressive summarization distills notes into their most important points through multiple layers of highlighting. Layer 1 consists of the initially captured excerpts, not entire articles, just the key parts with source links. Layer 2 involves bolding main points within those excerpts, key words, essential phrases, or resonant sentences, making the note scannable in under a minute. For especially valuable notes, Layer 3 adds highlighting, bright yellow, to the most interesting bolded passages, often just one or two sentences that encapsulate the message. Finally, for cornerstone notes visited repeatedly, Layer 4 adds an executive summary in bullet points using your own words. This layered approach creates multiple ways to interact with your notes depending on your needs. The first time you encounter an idea, you might explore every nuance. Later visits let you pick up where you left off, reviewing just the highlights from previous readings. You can dive into all details at Layer 1, or, when pressed for time, focus only on the distilled layers. progressive summarization is like having a digital map that can be zoomed in or out depending on how many details you want to see. You're building a map of the best ideas in your second brain without moving or deleting anything. Your highlights serve as signposts that help you navigate through your network of ideas.
As knowledge workers, our most scarce and precious resource is attention. The creative process depends on attention at every step. It's the lens through which we make sense of what's happening and notice available resources. While we're taught to work with the end in mind, this approach undervalues the intermediate work, notes, drafts, outlines, that represents valuable knowledge we've acquired. The express stage is about sharing ideas earlier and more frequently in smaller chunks to test what works and gather feedback, which then feeds back into your second brain for future iterations. This approach centers on intermediate packets, IPs, the concrete building blocks that make up your work notes from meetings, research findings, brainstorms, slide decks, or action items. Five kinds of IPs include distilled notes, summarized books/articles, outtakes, unused material from past projects, work in process, documents produced during projects, final deliverables, completed work components, and documents created by others. Working with IPs makes you interruption-proof, focusing on one small packet at a time, enables progress in any time span, increases quality through frequent feedback, and eventually allows you to execute entire projects by assembling previously created IPs. Rather than creating IPs from scratch, it's more powerful to notice and save what you've already produced. For example, when planning a conference, you could assemble components, agenda, session lists, streaming checklists, emails, invitations, website, by adapting existing materials rather than creating everything new. Our creativity thrives on examples and templates that channel ideas into useful forms. The express step builds our ability to retrieve what we need when we need it, giving us confidence our second brain works for us. There are four complementary retrieval methods: search, quick and powerful for known items; browsing, using parafolders to navigate contextually; tags, connecting notes across locations for specific purposes; and serendipity, allowing unexpected connections through broad searches, visual patterns, and sharing with others. Contrary to the myth of the solitary artist, creativity is inherently collaborative. Whether you're a musician needing a sound engineer, an actor working with a director, or an author collaborating with an editor, creative work ultimately involves others. Breaking work into intermediate packets makes it more shareable and collaborative, unlocking greater creative potential than working in isolation. Creativity is always a remix of existing parts, with everyone standing on the shoulders of predecessors. Like kit bashing in movie model making, where model makers recombine prefabricated commercial kits into new models, creative work borrows aspects or parts from others. When borrowing, it's important to cite sources and influences, which doesn't diminish your contribution, but enhances it. The creative process follows a timeless pattern of alternating between divergence and convergence. Divergence involves gathering inspiration, exploring new paths, and generating options, like Taylor Swift's notes, Twyla Tharp's box, or a whiteboard covered in sketches. This phase is necessarily spontaneous, chaotic, and messy. Convergence then forces us to eliminate options and make decisions, like Coppola highlighting certain passages in the Godfather novel. Without convergence, we never get the rewarding sense of completion. This pattern appears in all creative fields. Writers diverge by collecting raw material before converging with outlines and drafts. Engineers research solutions before implementing specific approaches. Designers collect patterns before deciding on wireframes. The first two code steps, capture and organize, represent divergence, while distill and express represent convergence. Your second brain helps overcome the universal challenge of creative work, not knowing where to start. By distinguishing between divergence and convergence modes, you can decide which approach to take. Convergence is where most people struggle, especially those who are imaginative and curious. When finishing projects, it's tempting to do more research rather than complete what you've started. Three powerful strategies can help with convergence: the archipelago of ideas, the Hemingway bridge, and dialing down the scope. The archipelago of ideas technique helps start new work by gathering a collection of ideas, sources, or points that form the backbone of your project. Named after Stephen Johnson's approach to writing, it involves creating digital outlines of collected material rather than facing a blank page. The Hemingway bridge, named after Ernest Hemingway's writing strategy, involves ending a work session when you know what comes next, rather than exhausting every idea. This creates a bridge to your next session, using today's energy to fuel tomorrow's work. To create a Hemingway bridge, reserve the last few minutes of a work session to note next steps, current status, important details you might forget, and intentions for the next session. Dialing down the scope means reducing a project's complexity to make it deliverable, like software teams postponing features as release dates approach. For knowledge workers, this strategy acknowledges that delaying projects often creates more problems than it solves. We lose motivation, things go out of date, and life interferes. The solution isn't more time, but controlling scope. Whatever you're building, there's always a smaller version that delivers substantial value in less time. Your second brain balances productivity and creativity, complementary forces rather than opposing ones. Organization creates space for creativity, while confidence in your creative process reduces background stress. Like a well-maintained system, your second brain requires regular maintenance habits to support rather than interfere with your work. Knowledge workers face the same tension as professional chefs, producing high-quality work at high volume continuously. Chefs solve this with mise en place, a culinary philosophy for producing excellent food efficiently. Instead of stopping everything to clean up, chefs maintain organization within their workflow through small habits, keeping tools in consistent places, immediately cleaning implements after use, and arranging ingredients in order of use. For knowledge workers, there's rarely time to stop everything and reorganize our digital world. Building a second brain requires adopting dynamic habits that help us continually access what we need without creating chaos. These habits create boundaries of time, space, and intention around the states of mind we want to protect. Two critical moments in this process are when projects start and finish, opportunities to do something different than before. For these moments, we need project kickoff and project completion checklists. A project kickoff checklist provides structure to how we begin our attention investments, including capturing current thinking in a brainstorm note, reviewing existing folders for relevant notes, searching across all folders for related terms, moving or tagging relevant notes to the project folder, and creating an outline from collected notes to plan the project. The project completion checklist includes marking the project complete in task management apps, crossing out the associated goal, and reflecting on success factors or lessons learned, reviewing intermediate packets for reusable elements, moving the project to archives across platforms, and adding a status note for inactive projects before archiving. Regular reviews are essential for maintaining your second brain in a state of readiness. David Allen pioneered the weekly review concept in his book Getting Things Done, and Forte recommends adding note organization to this practice. Batch processing your notes takes only minutes, but keeps your system functional and prevents overwhelm. Beyond structured reviews, noticing habits involve making small improvements to your note system as opportunities arise. These include moving notes between folders as your priorities change, like moving Spanish phrases from a languages resource to a Costa Rica project folder when planning a trip. These small actions take mere moments, but gradually produce an environment tailored to your actual needs. For most of history, humanity struggled with scarce information. Now we face the opposite challenge: infinite streams of data delivered at light speed. Our value has shifted from physical labor to knowledge work, making our attention our most valuable asset. The challenge is no longer acquiring information, but finding ways to close off the stream to accomplish meaningful work.
While tools for managing information are important, it's ultimately your mindset, not your toolset, that constrains your potential. Our fundamental relationship with information, formed through upbringing, personality, and experience, colors every aspect of our lives. This default attitude works in the background, telling us how to interpret and feel about new information. The greater the burden you place on your biological brain to provide everything you need, the more it struggles. As you integrate a second brain into your life, you'll begin seeing connections between disparate ideas and developing new perspectives. Even those who don't see themselves as writers or creators discover that any experience or insight can be valuable when broken into smaller chunks of information. Instead of optimizing your mind to manage every detail, it's time to promote it to CEO of your life, orchestrating the process of turning information into results while delegating remembering to your second brain. This external system is always on, has perfect memory, and can scale indefinitely. Once biology is no longer your bottleneck, you can expand your information flow without drowning in it. The most significant transformation when creating a second brain is shifting from viewing information through scarcity to seeing it through abundance. Many people operate under outdated assumptions that information is scarce, leading them to hoard content indiscriminately out of fear of missing out. This consumerist approach creates a paradox. No matter how much we collect, it's never enough. An abundance mindset recognizes that valuable knowledge is everywhere, and we only need a few seeds of wisdom that tend to find us repeatedly. When you begin using your second brain, not just for remembering, but for connecting and creating, you transition from acting out of obligation to operating from a spirit of service. Most people naturally desire to help others, but often postpone this impulse, waiting for enough time or expertise. As knowledge accumulates in your second brain, the desire to share naturally emerges. Knowledge becomes more valuable when shared, not less. Building a second brain ultimately cultivates self-awareness and self-knowledge. External ideas that resonate with you reflect truths already within you. Drawing on philosopher Michael Polanyi's observation that we know more than we can say, our tacit knowledge, what we know but can't fully articulate, represents our unique human advantage. Your second brain helps surface this tacit knowledge by providing external hooks to pull it into conscious awareness. There's no single right way to build a second brain. If your system brings progress and delight, it's working. As your needs change, adapt which parts you use. Always fall back on the four steps of code. Keep what resonates, capture, save for actionability, organize, find the essence, distill, and show your work. If overwhelmed, focus on immediate priorities or just one stage of building your second brain. A system that requires perfection to function is fundamentally flawed. An imperfect system that you actually use is far better than a perfect one that's too complicated to maintain.